Okay. So the way this works is just popcorn, raise your hand. You can either raise your hand like this or you can use the reaction button to raise your hand. Nothing's off limits. You can share as much or as little as you feel comfortable with. One of the things that I really love about Feel Without Fear is that all of you may be strangers to each other now, but by the end in 4 months, you will all know each other's faces, you'll know each other's stories. People usually end up connecting through like WhatsApp groups or on Instagram or through email or text or something in the chat. So that community is there for you. So please don't be afraid to, ask someone if they'll give you their phone number so that you can text someone in between. Or if you guys want to follow each other on Instagram, you can drop your handle in the chat. That's one of my favorite parts about Feel Without Fear is the sense of community that forms, even with people from all across the world. So don't be afraid to get to know each other because you will anyway. So with that said, you can share as much or as little as you like, but the floor is open. This is for questions, coaching, whatever you want to receive right now. So don't be shy. Yeah, Tammy, go for it. Oh, unmute yourself, babe.
Thank you. You mentioned resources. Can you just go through those once again? You mentioned two different courses, and then I'm just looking at different ways I can support myself throughout this process of these 4 months. So there
Yeah.
were two courses that you said were available. So that's obviously in the portal, I'm
Yep, it's in
assuming.
your portal, Nervous System 101. So that's it's a workshop. And then the other one is Nervous System CPR. So that's a toolkit. They're like quick, short, small file size videos you can download to your phone of me demonstrating like nervous system tools to help you if you're really overwhelmed or triggered. That's why I call it nervous system CPR. It's for your oh shit nervous system moments. So yeah, those are the two. I would definitely recommend watching Nervous System 101 before the group call on Wednesday, but definitely before the next workshop, which is on August 29th. So
And you said it's a course. How much time do you need for that?
For Nervous System 101, I don't remember. David, do we include the Q&A with that replay or is it just the workshop? Okay, about 2 hours, Tammy.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
For sure. Anybody else? Y'all can't be shy. You can't. You didn't come here to be shy. You did not sign up to sit here and say nothing and ask nothing. So I don't buy
I don't have a question, but I have a share.
Okay.
In one of our breaks, so I'm in the process of planning a birthday party, and people are getting different ingredients for me to help me out. And one of the girls texted and was like, "I'm gonna get the berries today for Saturday." And immediately perfectionism was like, "Are they gonna be okay on Saturday? Will they be moldy?" And then she freaked out. So in the process of this course, I responded in our last break and I was like, "I'm sorry, my perfectionism projected onto you. I didn't mean to stress you out. They will be totally fine." And she's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. My brain's not working. It's just because I'm ADD." And I'm like, No. We're both okay. It's going to be fine." So then she
Nice.
called me like, "I'm s thank you for saying that." So yeah, bit by bit.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yes, Carrie. Yes, that kind of communication with friends. I'm so here for it. Oh my goodness.
Like you don't even realize something like that. Like something as simple as "I don't want moldy berries" is perfectionism, but it is.
And also, it's okay to not want moldy berries.
So
But like, yeah, if there's like an urgency, what if the berries are moldy? I can see how that would be perfectionism and not just a simple desire to not have moldy berries. But yes, that's amazing awareness. And the way you navigated that is perfect. Shouldn't have said perfect. Now your perfectionist is like, oh, thank God I did it right. You did well done, Carrie. Well done. Yeah, it shows up in all that. You got a perfectionist kid on your bus, dude. Yep, that's who you can start working with. Anybody else got a perfectionist kid on their bus? Okay. Danielle also has. Yeah, both Danielles do. We have two Danielles. Anybody else? You guys, if this is the Q, if this is it and we're hopping off, this is literally the record shortest Q&A I've ever done on a call ever.
I'll share. It was more of a share than a question, but I noticed my like a subtle shifting of what understanding judgment. I can even things that I would quote unquote label as like bad feelings, I don't necessarily like pathologize them in some way or like really call them bad, but like things that I historically like we reference as bad. But including the definition of like judgment to expand the definition of judgment into like even having like a resistance to having it. So something like anxiety. I don't say anxiety, you're bad, but also if I know that it's not necessary or serving, I have this like feeling of like, well, it shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Like noticing the like the nuance to kind of deepen that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Great. Yes. You're getting lots of head shaking with that. I think that resonated for a lot of people. Yeah, 'cause whenever you're like, "Oh, it shouldn't be here," that is a judgment, isn't it? Yeah. Totally.
Especially when you can see in some ways that it's not needed to be there, you know, like it I don't know. Yeah.
Well, so okay, let's like pretend that that happens, that you can tell logically the threat that is in front of me is not actually a threat, but my body is perceiving it as a threat with anxiety. So instead of, "Oh, I shouldn't have anxiety, that's like totally unreasonable. Why do I have anxiety?" Instead of that judgment, it's like, okay, well, if I'm honoring my body, clearly something about this is bringing up this feeling of anxiety. I wonder when I felt this way before, or I wonder if this feels familiar to me, or I wonder why this is registering in my body as anxiety. Just like giving yourself permission to explore it another layer deeper. Could be a way of doing that. Let's see. Oh, I don't have my phone up here. Dang. I could tell y'all about a text conversation that I have. Actually, I can pull it up right here and I can look at it. So this kind of goes along with what you're saying, Nicole, but also what you said, Carrie. My friend Ellen invited me this last weekend, to come over and like help her do some reorganizing and redecorating in her house. And they moved in there like a year ago, but they still had a bunch of stuff that they hadn't unpacked, and she like finally wants to get it unpacked and put up nicely and all that kind of stuff. So she asked me to come over. But at the time that she asked me to come over, I've been dealing with some stuff with my best friend, and my abandonment stuff has kind of been at the surface for me. And my friend and I are okay, and like I'm not actually getting abandoned, but every time this comes up, it's still tough, even though I'm gradually learning how to handle it and meet it differently. So one way that I'm handling it and meeting it differently this time is that I am more aware than ever before of how my abandonment trigger is bleeding into other relationships other than my best friend. And I haven't been as aware of that in the past. So I'm really aware that that's what's happening for me right now. So when my friend Ellen is like, I'd love for you to come help me. I know Ellen, and one of her patterns is to shut down. And so I have been in experiences with her before where I'm sure you guys can tell I have a very like momentum kind of energy. I'm kind of a like, let's get her done kind of energy. Ellen is much more reserved and quiet and doesn't have as much momentum. She's more thoughtful. She's probably more intentional than me in a lot of ways because of that. So I am aware that there have been times in the past where I feel too much in relationship to Ellen. And so I perceive that my momentum or my energy is too big for her. And then that's what makes her kind of withdraw and shut down. And then I feel shitty inside of myself about it. And I'm wondering, like, what have I done wrong? So I'm aware that this abandonment trigger is right at the surface in a different relationship. She's asking me to come help her. I've had these very real experiences with her in the past that we haven't always talked about. So I said to her, to be really clear, pretty similar to you, Carrie, I don't want us to feel like we're in conflict if I'm gung ho to reorganize and you're feeling stuck. She said she was feeling stuck, actually, above. She was like, it just looks cluttered right now and I feel stuck. And I said, I don't want us to feel like we're in conflict if I'm gung ho to reorganize and you're feeling stuck. I never know if I need to gently push or give you space. I'm feeling tender and hypervigilant lately because my abandonment shit is coming up with Honor, my best friend's name, and not surprisingly, bleeds into other relationships. So I'm just sensitive to knowing this kind of stuff overwhelms you and makes you feel stuck, and how my ability to keep up momentum could be perceived as me being pushy. Does that make sense? And she and I said, I feel so dumb right now for that, but it's honest. And then I said, this is what happens when I'm in a trigger L, real as I can be. And then this kind of vulnerable communication of just me being really honest and vulnerable and sharing what's real for me right now almost always opens the other person to do the same. And it just creates this really beautiful reciprocity. So her response to that was, no, I completely get it. I am totally stuck about it. And I tend to let people tell me what to do and then get moody rather than be honest about what I want, even when I don't know what that is. Maybe I just want ideas more than actually doing. Is that a helpful place to start? So, like, we figured it out and we had a great time together and we got so much shit done. We did way more than just ideas. We actually got shit done. But I'm so grateful that we had the ability to have this conversation before because I went in feeling much more ease about it. And she probably did too because she knows how that feels for me and she's able to recognize her own awareness of like, yeah, I do that and I don't always speak up and I get moody instead. You know, so if she's not speaking up and being authentic and getting moody instead, being a sensitive person, I'm gonna feel that. Like energy doesn't lie, right? So, and I will feel that energy. And then I'll have all these stories in my, oh my God, she's mad at me. I've done too much. I've said too much. She doesn't like this idea, but she won't say so. Right. And then that just leads to that like freeze state. Whereas whenever we just authentically and vulnerably communicate about it, even if it feels weird or awkward, like that is so much better than the alternative of like being in my head about it and having all this anxiety in my body. Anybody else? Yeah, Danielle.
That working? Yeah, that's okay. So, leading on from that, what do you do when you use vulnerable communication and then the other person perceives that as, this is going to sound really mean, but they perceive that as you kind of talking down to them, or they don't really know how to explain that they don't know what you're saying, like they don't have the language to communicate that back to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I think it's really valuable data to see how someone responds when we really communicate vulnerably and transparently like that. But what I do is I always def I try to default to curiosity. So if I'm like, hey, I know that my energy can be like a lot sometimes to keep momentum going, but I don't know if I'm being pushy towards you and I don't want this to be awkward for us. Like if somebody responds to that with like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean it's awkward? I don't know what you're talking about or something like that. Like I would just try to go into curiosity and be like, you know, like haven't you ever noticed that sometimes we have this thing and it happens between us? And like I'm just trying to name it for what it is. Neither one of us is doing anything wrong. You know, and then like if people continue to fight you about something like that, where they're perceiving that as like you're trying to offer an olive branch and they're perceiving it as a threat, like, I mean, you have to decide. I don't know what your level of intimacy is with this person or whatever, but like if I am being as authentic and vulnerable as I can and I get met with like defensiveness or judgment or shame or something like that, I really try to stay like in my truth and be my authentic self and be curious and like try to reason with that. But there comes a point where it's like, if this is how you're going to respond every time I try to be vulnerable with you, then I actually have a reason to hold back that vulnerability because not everyone deserves my vulnerability. You know, I tried to talk this way to my mom before, and she, She says that I talk like a therapist. And it's like, you know, I'm not trying to talk like a therapist. I'm not a therapist, but this way of relating is so foreign to so many people that when you relate in this way, people are like, what the fuck is happening? You sound like a therapist, you know? And then they become defensive because my mom's like, you're therapizing me. And I'm like, no, actually, mom, I'm not. But, you know, okay. Like, and again, like I pull my vulnerability back from my mom. She doesn't get it, you know, because she's not safe. Did that help, Danielle?
Yes, that helped. Thank you.
Any follow-up questions?
Well, it's my partner, so it's trying to work that, and that's literally what he says. Like, don't talk to me like you're my therapist. He doesn't have a therapist, by the way.
With it being a partner, again, the level of intimacy in the relationship is a factor that has to be considered. So with it being a partner, like if this was David, for example, and I've like tried being like, I mean, this is a real example. I get hypervigilance when I feel that he's withdrawn or quieter than usual. My mom gave me the silent treatment for my whole childhood. You guys are going to hear me talk about this a lot more in Feel Without Fear. But so when people withdraw or are more quiet than usual, that registers in my body as I'm getting the silent treatment. Even if I logically know that's not what's happening, that's still what it feels like. So being able to say to David, like, hey, I noticed that you seem more withdrawn and quieter than usual today. And the voice in my head is saying that I've done something to upset you. And I've tried to think about what that could be. But I just can't shake this feeling like I've done something wrong because you seem withdrawn from me. Like, is that what's really happening? Have I upset you? And usually he's like, no, I just didn't sleep good last night. So I'm just more tired today, you know? But my catastrophizing brain is like, he's going to divorce me, you know? So if he were to respond back and be like, you know, I just hate it that you are constantly misinterpreting everything that I say to you. Like I try to be loving. I'm just tired from not sleeping well last night, and you think the fucking world is ending. Like if that's the response that I got, like I would try really hard to just stay in that vulnerability and just say like, I'm just trying to be honest about how I feel. I know it must be so frustrating for you whenever I'm hypervigilant, especially when nothing is actually wrong. And I know it must be frustrating when you're just tired and I perceive that as threatening. I'm really trying to work on that in myself. And it actually helps me to be able to tell you how I'm feeling and what I'm noticing and ask for that reassurance instead of staying quiet. And if somebody is still like, no, I'm not willing, like after all of that effort at like peacemaking and conscious communication and like validating each other's needs and all of that, like I would hope that your husband would be more open after you just trying to emphasize that you're just being vulnerable and honest. And what I do in the past is I pick a fight with you and I don't want to pick a fight with you anymore. So I'm trying to communicate in a different way. Are you willing to meet me in that? You know? Give it a
Thank
try.
you.
See how it works.
Will do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
I have a question if nobody else has something.
Go for it, Tammy.
Sorry, I'll just put my video on. Sorry, guys. Usually I'm running in the background, like I work on papers, so I'll have my camera off when I'm moving around because it's too distracting. So something I've noticed. And can I'll just use an example of recently. I'm in between moving to different unit or two different places from a unit to a house. And I'm dealing with two different real estates. And part of this process, I noticed, like, because I'm feeling a bit stressed and a bit anxious, and there's a lot going on in the background, right? So I'm definitely like really feeling really overstimulated. So having a lot of deep rest right now. But life is going on as it does. And I was in the middle of explaining. So part of our processes is there's very detailed entry reports for the place that I enter, and it's a huge house I'm in now as opposed to my small unit. So I go in and I'm just asking a few questions, and I've noticed a few things. And my husband's not here. He's in Canada. So I'm like trying to do it all on my own, which I normally don't do. And so I'm asking the lady and I'm saying this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized as I'm doing this is just freaking automatic, and it's actually not about that. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. But then I noticed with the last question, I said to her, oh, I just don't want to feel like, what did I say? I don't want to feel like I'm too much. Like, not, I didn't say those words, but I was like, I don't want to feel like I'm picking out every, because we haven't had rented a house we've always owned. So it's been 15 years. And I'm like, I don't want to seem like I'm noting too much. And you guys are going to think I'm this way. And then I was like, oh shit, I just said this to the receptionist. Like, why the hell am I doing that? Right. So, and I am a very deeply vulnerable person. I do tell people stuff about myself and I'm very okay with that. But I was like, I don't want to be like that. You know what I mean? But then I realized I was like, it was people pleasing about other people. It's not about me. So, in that place of deep vulnerability, when you realize this, like I got out of there after that. I was like, okay, because I picked it up and like instantly I was like, okay, well, I'm going to leave now. Right. Because I'm like, yeah, see ya. And I left. But in that space, how do I allow myself to, because I've got this deep level of awareness now. The awareness is there, but I'm not yet at the place where I'm implementing what I like when I have that information. I think I'm just going to keep talking. So I'm going to leave that. Did I give you enough information?
I think so. So I'd love for you to rewind that movie of being in that office, talking to that receptionist, looking at all the questions on the form, picking out all the things. And I want you to, as you're playing that movie in your head, like notice the if there's a sensation or maybe a story in your head or something, but just notice like if there's a feeling in your body or a pull to like over explain yourself or apologize for yourself.
Yes.
Okay, so that's your coming into awareness of this is the thing that has me in resistance of embodying being able to be like, this is my home. It's okay for me to be picky about it because it
Yeah.
is. Like, it's totally 100% okay for you to be picky about a place that you're paying, I'm assuming, a lot of money to live in. So, isn't it interesting that there's a part of you that's like, oh, I can't do that. I'm too much. Like, it's too much if I do that. I'm too picky, right? I'm the same way. Dude, like I live in the woods and go barefoot in the woods all the time and have dirt under my nails. Like, but I am the most high maintenance motherfucker you've ever met in your life. Like, I am so high maintenance. David will tell you, I see every little detail and line that's not level in our house. Like, it's just how I am. I don't know. It's just how I am. So it's very important to me to not have all those fucking things staring at me that are like wrong all the time. I want them fixed. Like, my brain doesn't work right if they're not fixed. So if you are playing that movie in your head and there it's like, what is the feeling again? I'm too much, I'm too high maintenance, I'm too picky, I'm like, what is the belief?
I'm over explaining myself. Like I'm having to give people too much details when it's almost like I'm seeking that external validation outside of myself, but I didn't realize it until I'm freaking deep into it.
Yeah, sure. So in the movie, you're in that scene, you're slowing down, you're taking a breath. What would the highest, wisest, most loving, and trusting part of you choose? How would she like to respond?
Just with okay and leaving it at that. Because
Okay.
I'm enough. Like what I've got to request in that moment, everything I'm doing is enough. What they think, because she looked at me and she said, oh, it doesn't matter what the hell we think. Like she even said that to me. And I looked at her and I was like, you're so right in that moment. Like, exactly. And I think maybe that's what, but it was weird because it was like this deeper urgency that was underneath it all that I felt. Like I felt like I was. You know how you go in and you go in the water, or you do like a cold plunge or something, and you go, it's happening, it's happening, we're doing it. Like it was kind of like that.
Okay. So, when have you felt that way before?
Well, I think in so many areas of my life, like I'm so many areas of my life, but usually like it's like the onion layer, right? So usually I'm validating myself. I can validate myself enough. But in this case, I do feel like I'm on a deeper healing bend this season. Like,
So what part of you feels like you need their validation?
I guess the trust in myself, because I'm rebuilding the trust between myself and my body. So my mind and my body are reconnecting. They've been disconnected for the last couple of years, I believe. I was never really aware how deep until now. So I think it's that comeback coming back into trust. So all of a sudden, when I hear that place of like wanting it or recognizing it, it's almost like no, you've got this. You've got your own, like, I've got to build myself up. I can't get it exterior from them, and I've got to recognize that.
Yeah. And it's
Yeah.
also okay, like as you're building that, like you're not meant to build that alone. So as you go through that process, it's okay
Yeah.
again to be vulnerable and say, you know, there's a voice in my head right now that's really telling me I am too much. Like
Yeah.
is me noticing all of this? Is it really okay? Like it's okay to ask for reassurance as you're rebuilding that relationship of trust with yourself.
That's what I think I needed to hear in that moment. And that's what's been hard for me to pick out, is that it's okay. Because I don't believe we're meant to do it alone. But at the same time, when your body has been responding to it alone, it's almost like it's that scary fear part of yourself that's like, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
it sounds like the highest, wisest, most loving, trusting part of you, instead of bypassing asking for that reassurance, would actually say, there's a voice in my head that's saying I'm being like way too much and that I'm feeling like I have to overexplain myself. Like, can you just reassure me that it is okay for me to point out all this stuff? And
Can
then
I say that to a stranger?
why
Like, is that, this is where I like really, like, I'm like, oh, fuck, am I allowed to swear? Like,
Yes.
that. Okay, because
Just
I
kidding.
will
You know me, right?
swear. Okay, well, that's where I go, fuck, right? Like, should I be like, but you're right. It is my right. And it is, and I'm paying a fuck ton. You're right about that. So it is right that I am double checking this, and to be
Absolutely.
that direct wastes all
No
that
time.
space.
Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
it. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to be as direct as possible all the time. I find it saves time and bullshit.
Exactly, right? Like, but why is there that vulnerable part that just shows up going like you shouldn't? You know how you said just a moment ago, that's what picked it for me, is you said a moment ago, you said, there are some people who don't deserve our vulnerability, right? Brené Brown speaks a shit ton about that. And that I believe to be true for some of the time. But then there are moments like this where I'm like, but is that my fucking vulnerability, or is it just my right to be seen? Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, but I think I've got it now. I think I'm
Yeah.
like piecing it
Yeah.
together.
Yeah, you've got it. You've got it for sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Can I just piggyback off of that?
Sure.
Again, not a question, a share. But something I've realized, and Lindsay helped me realize this the other day, is that I would consider myself like a self-help girl. I've read all the books, like The Four Agreements, Attached, all these things, which I got called out as a form of my perfectionism. And now in that journey, I've like the negative voice in my head has taken on like the self-help negative voice. So things that I've learned that I don't need to do any longer, I actually used to shame myself. So like Tammy was saying, I was in a situation the other day where I wanted to be my authentic self and say, this is my explanation for why I'm moving forward the way that I am. And all of my friends, being the loving, supporting friends they are, were like, you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to tell them anything. Like, you can just tell them that you don't want to. And I was struggling with that for some reason. And finally, I just realized I'm sensitive to rejection. And therefore, what's authentic for me is to explain myself so people don't walk away with that feeling of rejection. And it was really hard for me to like talk myself through that, because part of me is like, you've healed. You're better than this. You don't have to explain yourself. You owe them nothing. But like, that's what was authentic for me. So thanks, Lindsay, for helping me with that, because I definitely had to coach myself through it. But sometimes explaining makes me feel better.
Yeah, that's okay. That's really okay. that what you guys are going to learn through this, I hope, is that it's not about what or how you're doing something or whether you should or shouldn't be doing that thing. It's why. So like if reading the self-help books, like if that feels like what the most loving, trusting, wisest, highest part of you wants to do, like there's a genuine desire, there's an insatiable curiosity, like you can't wait, it just lights you up, it's something you're passionate about, like fucking do it. But if the energy with which you're approaching self-help is like, oh, this better fucking fix me, like that desperate, like, oh, I must need to know more. Oh, I tried that protocol, it didn't work, I better try this one instead. Oh, I should listen to that podcast, not this one. Like if that's the energy you're in, like then that's not authentic energy. That's not what the highest, wisest, most loving and trusting part of you would choose. So again, it's not should I read self-help books or should I not? It's how, what is your energy like when you're approaching those things? Is it coming from this place of like, I got to fix myself, but this better work? Or is it just like an open, curious, like, yeah, this is fun. This feels great. Sorry, did I call you out again, Carrie? Okay. I'm like watching you nod. I'm like, shit, did I call her out?
In the best way.
Okay, great. Good. That's what I hope it always is. All right. Anyone else? There really is no hurry. I have stayed on until 9 o'clock before. It is 7:46 my time. I've actually stayed on until 10 o'clock before. So when I say I'm willing to stay on, I'm willing to stay on. So don't be shy. It is okay if you take up space here. If anybody has a problem with taking up space, we're going to like desensitize that. You're welcome to take up space. Yes, Danielle.
Okay. I feel nervous about saying this because I'm the only one I saw that raised my hand when you asked the question about the video you posted that I felt uncomfortable. And I do want to make it clear, not in a people pleasing way or like you, I want you to like me. Like, I don't feel uncomfortable about it because I think you're awkward or it's wrong or anything like that. It's definitely within me. And I think it's, I mean, I did grow up like going to Catholic school, but I wasn't super Catholic. But I think it's just a like cultural, like puritanical thing of like, and also like a little bit like of a fear thing of being like afraid of men basically, and being like, and that I know what you're doing isn't anything to do with that, but it like brings that up for me when I see that. Like, so that's what kind of makes me like, oh, I don't, something about that, you know? So I just wanted to like use that as an example of like working through it a little or something.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, I don't know your story, but I would guess in the context of your life experience, that probably makes sense. Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but then it's just like, then there's like a part, there's definitely a part that's like, you know, shouldn't be judgmental. Like, not that I would ever say any of this to anyone on anything I didn't like on someone's internet page, I would not go there and say anything about it. But like, even having the thought of not liking it makes me feel like you're judgmental and like bad and like not a good person and like you have a lot of growth to do and all of that kind of like judgment of myself.
Interesting. When have you felt that way before?
Like all the time. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's just like the perfectionist part of like, there's like so much healing to do and there's so many books and like therapists and coaches to learn from, like, how are you ever going to get any of this, all this done, you know?
Oh my goodness.
Maybe I should stop there for now, but yeah.
No, I don't want you to stop there. I'm invested now. I'm curious now.
But yeah, I guess I don't know what the, I guess maybe it's going back to that example of like feeling uncomfortable when you asked, you know, like if who's uncomfortable by this or, I mean, I guess It's not bad to feel uncomfortable. Like the bad part would be if I come to your page and like insult you or like put all these projections onto you. Like me, like what I'm feeling about it isn't bad. Is that right?
What you're feeling about it isn't bad, no.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't even think it's bad to come to my page and tell me about it. Like, I don't judge
Well, if you
people in
ask
that.
maybe, but I don't know. But
Sure, but like, I mean, whether or not you would go to someone's page and post your comment or whether you're having it internally, there's still judgment there. There's
yeah.
still discomfort there. So it's not necessarily what you do with the discomfort. It's like, do I have a desire to not be so uncomfortable about this? Or like, is there a reason outside of my conscious awareness why I'm so uncomfortable about this? And can I get curious about that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're also
Yes,
allowed to
I
be like, I totally disagree with women dancing sensually and posting it on the internet. Like, you're allowed to also disagree with it and be like, you know, I'm glad that you love that. That's just not something I want to do. And like, that's also fine.
okay. I don't, yeah, I
And
don't
also,
feel
you
like
might
that.
change your mind one day.
Right. I guess I do have the desire to not feel uncomfortable about it.
Okay, why? Why aren't you allowed to feel uncomfortable about something?
Because that it seems like then I'm judging you or whoever, and judgment seems bad.
Okay. Is your discomfort bad?
Yes.
Does your discomfort feel authentic or does it feel like resistant and protective?
It feels like the latter.
Okay. So it's not
Yeah.
an authentic resistance.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay. So what does that resistance and protectiveness feel like in your body?
It feels like a tightness, like in my chest. Like just yeah, like and just not good, like very uncomfortable and like restrictive, like sort of yeah, like something clamping, like I can't even breathe deeply.
So, can I get you to put your hand on that place where you feel that tightness? And just like be present with it and notice, just notice that sensation. It might help to like imagine if that sensation is inside of a balloon and you're sending breath to like blow the balloon up around it. Not to get rid of it, but just to give it space. What are you noticing?
Well, it feels, yeah, a little less, like a little less constricted.
So, can you ask your body, like, what about this feels protective and uncomfortable for me? Why do I need to resist this, or why do I need to be protected from this?
I'm asking, but I'm still not sure.
That's okay. That's okay. You might feel it more than you hear it. Maybe the sensation changed or it dropped or something else. Again, we're not trying to milk the body for all the answers.
Okay.
Like, we're just being present and curious about what we're noticing. And maybe organically answers come from that space, and maybe sometimes they don't. But you have a new level of awareness that you're just the discomfort in this situation is trying to protect you and help you resist something. Do you know what it's trying to protect you and help you resist? Is it trying to protect you from feeling uncomfortable? Is it trying to protect you from ever having that experience? Is it trying to protect you from ever seeing someone have that experience or something else?
Okay. So yeah, it's something I can like think about more. Doesn't necessarily have to like come immediately.
Right. Are you
Okay.
been, sorry, are you like in the practice of regularly listening to your body and discerning your body's messages? Is that like something you feel really fluent in?
No, I am through like my own like therapist, individual therapy, like more so in the last couple of years, but before that I couldn't never feel anything in my body. Like I
Okay.
basically didn't have a body.
Yeah. It'll come. We just have to learn to listen first, and then eventually it comes. You'll feel those like truth nuggets drop in. Something will resonate, something will feel really true, or something will feel really,
Okay,
But that's
thank
really
you.
great awareness, and thank you for sharing such a vulnerable thing. And in case there's any part of you that wonders if I think you're like a bad person or something, I definitely don't.
Thank you.
So at least you were honest about your discomfort instead of saying I was cringe and sexually awkward like a baby giraffe.
The baby giraffe thing, I'm just like, who doesn't love a baby giraff?
I
That's
know, right?
but anyway, thank you.
Welcome. Anyone else? No? Okay. Well, then we'll say you guys are done unless somebody flashes their hand up. I hope to see you on Wednesday for our group call. What did I say? 1 p.m. Central? Is that what I said? Okay. I hope to see you on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central. Yeah. You will get some homework during the group call as well. And the homework will be emailed out to you. It will be shared during the call, and then it will also be emailed to you in the replay email. So you'll have it there too. And then you'll have like 2 and a half to 3 weeks until our next, 3 weeks until our next workshop. So the reason why this is spaced out the way that it is. My voice is going, you guys. The reason it's spaced out the way that it is to give you several weeks in between workshops and calls to kind of integrate what you've learned in one call. So really for the next 3 weeks, what I want you to practice is just noticing, just being curious, noticing when the voice in your head is judgmental, seeing if you can shift that into curiosity, noticing what you're feeling in your body, noticing stories in your head. Just really using that awareness and curiosity muscle to start strengthening it like crazy. And there's really no way you can do it wrong. Like you can't fuck this up. The way awareness typically works, especially when you're trying to shift a pattern, is that typically what happens is you totally repeat the pattern, and then afterwards you come into awareness and you're like, oh shit, I did the thing again. Shit, I did the thing. You have to notice if there's judgment and shame in that, oh shit, I did the thing again. Because if that's the energy that's present, you're going to collapse and you're going to repeat that pattern again. So it's really important to be like, okay, I did the thing again. But she said I was going to do the thing again because how else would I know? Okay. So that's usually the first step of awareness is you repeat the thing and then you're like, shit, I did the thing again. Then you get to a place where you're like in the middle of repeating the thing and you come into awareness and you're like, shit, I'm doing it right now. I'm doing the thing right now. And that's when you have that choice to shift. And then eventually you get to the place where you can feel that familiar sensation in your body before you do the thing. And then you know, oh, okay, it's happening. Now I get a chance to totally respond differently. But you kind of have to reverse engineer it a little bit. So I just want to tell you that because that's literally almost how everyone's process works. And so that's why there's the perfectionist kid, like they're allowed to be uncomfortable if you don't get it right. But again, that's just something to be curious about and be aware of, you know, instead of going down a shame spiral about. So, yay. I will see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks so much for showing up tonight. Thanks for hanging in there until the bitter end. I will see you next week. Bye-bye.